that what he's saying here really does happen.
Look at verse, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved." We're going to do water baptism tonight. "But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany or follow those who have believed. In my name," what is the first one? "In my name they will," what? "Cast out," drive out demons. "And they will speak with new tongues." Found that a lot of people like to speak in tongues, but they don't like dealing with the demons. It's a part of it, okay? It's all a part of being a Christian. If you're a Christian, you will come in conflict with demons. You will meet them. They will manifest. And what you have got to do as a Christian is know what to do. The person needs help. The person needs ministry. And so what you have to do is know that it's, first of all, very scriptural. Are demons scriptural? What happened to demons when Jesus died on the cross? Did they go to heaven with him? Where are they at? I think they're still here. And the scriptures are clear about that. So, and I think that's pretty concise and pretty well taken care of in our church. I think we recognize that. I think we identify that fact. Now, I want to look in Mark again, I think, chapter 9. Yeah, Mark 9. And here, this is, of course, prior to the ascension, and this is the transfiguration. Jesus has gone onto the mountain. He's been transfigured. When he comes down from the mountain, he comes in immediate contact with demons, with a demon. And I want us to read this. Now, Thomas, you're going to have to be quiet, buddy. We're trying to talk now. "And when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them." I want you to, first of all, notice the confusion. "And immediately when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, 'What are you discussing with them?' And one of the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought you my son possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it.'" Now notice now that what the spirit does is just bring confusion. He just wants to dominate things. He wants to take over. And that's the purpose of a spirit. A spirit will dominate. A spirit will take over if it's allowed to. "And he answered them and said, 'O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me.' And they brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into the convulsion. And falling to the ground, he began rolling about and foaming at the mouth." Now, when a spirit meets authority, he is going to really show off. He's going to try to exert himself. He's going to try to take over. He's going to try to run things. "And he asked his father," Jesus asked the boy's father, "'How long has he been? Has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him.'" The purpose of a spirit is always to destroy. "'But if you can help, do anything. Take pity on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately, the boy's father cried out and began saying, 'I do believe. Help my unbelief.' And when Jesus," now look at this, "'and when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again.'" Now, I'm going to finish reading this, but I want to take a second here and show you. Jesus would not make a spectacle of this person, of this boy, in front of the crowd. He would not allow the Spirit to take charge of the crowd. He would not let it happen. When the crowd began to come, what did Jesus do? He immediately dealt with the situation because it was not for a public display. And when we deal with demonic spirits, we will not deal with them in the crowd. Let me ask you this question. Many of you have children. Would you throw your children to demons? Would you put them in the presence of demons purposefully? Would you take them to battle? Of course you wouldn't. And in a church like ours, there is very, very different and sundry rates and places of growth. We have some baby Christians. We have some people that were visiting here today, didn't know what in the hell was going on. Hey, and they're not back tonight. I don't know if you noticed it or not. And the thing is not to do in a crowd. Deal with it. Minister to the person. But the place to do it is in a proper place. It must be dealt with. But the thing cannot take control, and it cannot run the service. And it will not, never, ever, as long as I'm pastor. Amen. It can try, but it's not going to have it. Now that's just the way I see things. And that's the way it's going to be. We are going to deliver people from spirits. We're going to minister to them. I believe there's demonic activity in anybody that will give the devil a place. I just don't give him any place. And so, when you come into these situations, when you come into these places, you have to deal with it. When Johnny began to be affected by this spirit this morning, and he yelled, I wanted to look back, but I didn't want to draw attention to the spirit. I looked at Steve. I said, do I need to go back there? He shook his head no. So he came down and he told me what happened. He said, no, I went back there. And I asked, Randy, who did that? Was it you or? No, Jim Kittle. I said, Jim, what happened? He told me, and he says that Doug and George and Gary took him and took him to the back and ministered to him. Now, what the Spirit wanted to do was take charge. Do you understand that? He, as soon as Johnny come back in, he still had that Spirit on him. He came walking up here. Now, they had ministered to him. They had delivered him. But what the Spirit was still there, and he wanted to come up here and take charge. And did he try? Not Johnny, the Spirit. The Spirit was motivating him. It had got a place here. It had got a stronghold in Johnny. And it came up here and was trying to take charge. I would not allow it. We got home and Judy says, Deb, why didn't you just slip him out the door? I said, if we didn't have to go through the crowd, I would. She said, well, there was a door right beside you. I said, I forgot about that door. I said, man, if I'd known that door, Johnny had been out on Duke Street. It just won't. The reason I'm saying is I want you to feel peace. I want you to feel safety here. I don't want you to wonder, well, what's he going to do? I want you to know what I'm going to do. And we have got to be together when these situations happen. Now, let's read on, because this is where we're at right now with this situation and in every situation that we come into. Well, what if it happens again? Well, this is what happens. And after crying out, in verse 26, and after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he's dead. Now, Johnny would have done that had I let him. I just had him by the throat and wouldn't let him fall. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him to get up. And when he had come into the house, the disciples began questioning him privately. Why is it that we could not cast it out? And he said to them, now I don't know what translation you're reading, but if you're reading a more recent one, it'll say this. This kind cannot come out by anything but what? Prayer. Now your Bible may say fasting. Fasting is not in the original, and it's probably in italics if you have a King James Bible. If it's in italics, that means it's not in the original. That was added there for clarity. That doesn't clarify anything. When these situations happen, you need to get down and pray. You need to be praying for Johnny. You need to be praying for me. George, all of us that were attempting to help him and minister to him. And that's what you need to do in these situations, is pray. And another thought while I'm here, our church is not praying enough. Do you agree with that? We used to pray a lot. And we saw a lot of things happen. Now we're not praying, but we're seeing a lot of things happen. And we need to come again into a mind of prayer. A mind of prayer. But I wanted us to see this. And I want you to have peace when you come here. And I don't want you to worry about how things are going to happen. Now, Johnny is going to be ministered to. We're going to minister to him. We're going to pray for him in just a minute. And we're going to minister to him tomorrow night. Pastor Tebow, myself, I'm going to get George. And Gary's going to be there. No, Gary's going to work. Gary's on second shift. That's the third time, Gary. I'm sorry. But he's going to be there. And we're going to minister. Johnny's going to be there. And we're going to minister to him. But it's not to be done as a spectacle. What the devil wants to do is confuse things, cause confusion among you. And, you know, what if I couldn't cast the devil out? Well, the pastor couldn't cast the devil out. Well, maybe I can't cast it out, but you won't see it that I can't. And there's a right way to do things. There's a right way to handle things. And if you just follow the biblical instructions, folks, things will always go right. They'll always go right. And that's where I'm at. And that's what I wanted to share tonight, and just take a real smooth night. We didn't need any more heavy things. You know, I just want to bring you some peace. I just want you to know that when these things happen, you know, hey, everything's under control. Ain't no demon going to take over the service. All right? We're just not going to let it happen. I've been in services, man, where they stick microphones and make them talk. Isn't that good? Yeah, let the demon talk. Let the demon talk to the people. You don't do that. You just don't make a spectacle of the person. They told me one time, I'm not going to do all that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about, and you just don't give. Paul says, give how much place to the devil? No place to the devil. You just don't do it. Because if he can get a little bit, the next thing you know is we'll be having all kinds of demons coming in here, talking on microphones and doing all kinds of things. Amen? And we just won't do it. And so I want you to have peace. I want you to know, yeah, they really are here. And they come in these doors. Johnny had a spirit on him this morning when he come in. Didn't you, Johnny? That's right. And see, when they're going to come to church. Do you know that demons really do go to church? Hey, they believe and tremble. But I want you to have peace. And I want you to know it's going to be taken care of. It's going to be handled. And nobody's going to get embarrassed. I'm not going to embarrass the person. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'm not going to embarrass you. You might have brought some visitors. I felt so sorry for the Ledfords this morning. Had their whole family here. And got Eula is separated or divorced, I suppose, from her husband. And she had him here. The first time he's ever been here. Baptist to the toenail. Was here this morning. Stood right here. And just stood right there. As soon as I let him go back into the, he never sat down again. He just walked right around the corner and went right out the door. I felt so sorry for him. But what I'm trying to say is that you have peace. You might bring a visitor sometime. And if it's not handled properly, they'll go out here more confused and thinking worse of charismatics and Pentecostals than they ever did. And it just shouldn't be that way. How many believe what I've said as truth? You should have comfort. You should have peace. You should come in here knowing that it's a place of safety. When we come together, my understanding of scriptures as I read them and study them is that this should be a place of edification, exhortation, and comfort. We come here to praise Jesus, worship Him, love one another, love God, love man. And that's what we're here to do on Sunday mornings. Now, all the other things will take place. That's why we have care groups. That's why we have elders and deacons. That's why we have ministry times. All those other things will take place. But the primary things of coming together on the corporate Sunday, on meeting day, on assembling day, is coming. Loving each other, having communion together, ministering around the, up here, laying hands, blessing people, ministering, edifying, exhorting, and comforting people. That's why we're here. Amen? Does that help you? I just felt something lift here. Did you all just kind of lifted? We're just not going to give him place. We're just not going to do it. Amen? Now, we're going to get to give into the kingdom of God. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? If you haven't given today...